up, y'all? It's your girl, Aubrey Sion.
And it's me, your boy, Kyle A. Green.
And welcome to Hashtag Father Daughter Goals, the podcast, where it's more than just a cute little hashtag.
It's a mindset.
It's a culture.
It's a responsibility.
It's a way of life. Where we share through lived experiences on how we became Hashtag Father Daughter Goals.
It'll be real, raw, uncut, and most definitely relatable.
So make sure you lean in, listen up, and enjoy the show. Lego.
Hey, yo, man. So what's good? How you feeling?
I feel great. Back for episode number 2.
So episode 1 got rave reviews.
It did.
People were really, people said they laughed.
Yeah.
They said they cried. They said they smiled. And then they said they made them think about, like, their situation.
Oh, yeah. Very insightful.
So was that kind of what you wanted to get from the first episode? Matter of fact, not just the first episode. Was that what you wanted to get from the whole podcast itself?
Yes, that's the design intended impact. I said you're going to laugh. I said you're going to cry. I said you're going to gain some insight. So, yeah, that's the goal.
So how do you feel that the podcast is out? It's getting reviews. People seem to enjoy it. When I first said, yo, Bree, we need to get this back going, is this what you kind of foresaw?
Yeah, in a sense, you know, people being able to take something away and fulfilling my purpose. So, yeah, this is definitely what I thought. What about you?
No, all I got to say is, why did it take you so freaking long?
What do you mean?
I told you years ago, not months ago, I said, yo, Bree, I got the mentality changing. I said, Bree, we wrote this book together. But I said, like, yo, I want that to be your thing. I wanted it to be your brand that you could turn it into a business where we can get, like, the speak at conferences that we have now, to have the podcast that we have now, to get the merch going that we have now.
Yeah.
So what took you so long? The people want to know.
God said it wasn't time yet.
Ooh, why she had to put it on God?
He said it wasn't time yet. You know, if he say it's not time, then of course he gonna make other things come into play where it's just like, it's not time yet. So I just feel like it wasn't the time yet, but I guess the time is now. So here we are.
So, and what's crazy, yo, is y'all, I sent Bree this video on Instagram. It was a pastor who was, it seemed like he was in a cage, right? Mm-hmm. And he was talking about, like, it can't be time until, like, God says it's time.
Yep.
And I truly believe when we first wrote this book and we published it and we had the book signing at Columbia College, Bree was still, you were a junior or a senior then?
Junior.
She was a junior. So she probably didn't really have time to commit fully to the not saying the launch, because we launched it, but to the, you know, the developmental stages.
Right,
like when you have a kid, like, you don't just have a kid, they born today, and then now they're 18 years old,
right,
and they know everything. So she didn't have the time nor the bandwidth to really commit to the vision that I had when I first wrote it. Because I knew it was going to happen like this. And that's the one thing, man. God will give you, like, visions, and, you know, he'll make provision to make that vision become a reality. And so this is the reality of the vision that I saw happening, and I'm just so excited. That you are now, she done took the bull by the horns, y'all. Hey, people that's listening, like, we have video to go with the audio.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's been on my neck about everything. Bree, I need you to create this. Bree, I need you to do that. Create some shirts. Do this. Send the email. I'm like, Mr. Green, what are you doing?
I'm using my platform, boo. I built the platform.
Okay.
I got the people.
Okay.
I got the people. You got the whatever you call it.
Oh, okay. So I got nothing, basically. Okay,
all right, so give the people a review on episode 1, because Bree listened to it like 27 times.
I did not listen to it 27 times. He gassed it. I took a couple snippets out. But basically, we kind of just gave, like, a little intro. So we talked about, like, you know, me being in foster care. We talked about us meeting for the first time. We talked about what was it like
when I found
out. Oh, we talked about when you found out my mama was pregnant and how that went.
It ain't mine.
Bye. And how you felt.
And she came out looking just like me. Look at that.
That's what you get. That's what you get. That's typically how it goes. So yeah, you talked about how you felt like you was gonna let your grandmother down, but she, you know, still accepted you and still loved you through all of that. We talked about, what else we talked about? We talked about a couple different things.
Yeah, we talked about like how you were kind of not as receptive at first.
Yeah, rough around the edges.
Yeah, really rough around the edges.
Right, not too much.
Still rough around the edges.
Whoa. Nah, not at all. Like, I'm very much polished now.
No, yeah. I was talking about physically rough around the edges.
What you trying to say?
You know, your hair is just all over.
Baby, this team natural. What are you saying? Anyway.
This team ball hand. That's as natural as you're going to get.
Anyways, what else did we talk about?
That was about it. Yeah, that's good. So we're on episode 2. And I want y'all to know, man, in the book, hashtag Father Daughter Goes, every chapter is called a journey. Mm-hmm. And it's called a journey. And I always say this because journeys take you to a destination. Right. So after reading every journey, we want to get you to a desk because we wrote it together. I can't just say, this ain't the mentality changer.
It's not.
Calm down. Pause. So we want to take you on a journey where once you finish reading it, you can say, yo, they took me from where I was to where I needed to be, and hopefully gave you some type of roadmap, because we wrote it in a sense where I wrote 50% of it, Bree wrote the other 50%. I wrote from a father's perspective, Bree wrote from a daughter's perspective. If you are a father or a daughter reading it, you can infer from my perspective and you can infer from hers. And that's the beauty of this book.
Yeah.
So throughout this podcast, we want to take you on that journey. So we talked about when I found out, when we met, when I petitioned the courts, got a lawyer, got a guardian ad litem, Charmaine saying, get your freaking child, what the heck are you doing?
Right.
Until when you moved in, you were rough around the edges and all of that stuff. So now the next part of this journey is like middle school, high school. Okay. Like I don't want to jump too far ahead of where you are now. Like I want
Baby steps.
I want people to know, like, we didn't become hashtag father daughter goals overnight.
Not at all.
Not at all. Because in middle school it was tough. I took Aubrey's cell phone one time and threw it into the wall. Or was it your headphones? Was it your cell phone? Headphones?
Well, I remember it was one of them grades. It was one grade you broke my phone in half because I stormed off, and he was like, did you storm off? And I was like, you know, the true self set you free. So I was like, yeah.
Oh.
That man said, snap. I had a flip phone at the time.
Flip phone, baby.
That man said, snap. That might have been like fifth grade.
Yeah, so just to say, like, bro, we didn't become hashtag father daughter goals overnight. Not even months, not even years. It was a continual process. And I knew that I had to work on me. Mm-hmm. Bree knew she had to work on her.
Yeah.
Sure as hell had to work on her.
All right.
Because she was off the freaking chain when we first got
her. That's the pot calling the kettle black.
Well, we ain't talking about that. We on you.
Okay.
All right. Anyway. So moving right along. One of the most important things that happened after getting her in a couple of years of kind of loving on her a little bit, showing her that she's loved, you know, depositing love, building a foundation on love, changing really the climate, because before you can change the culture or establish a culture, you got to change the climate. And she came from a toxic climate, and we wanted her to be in a climate that was based on love, like togetherness, family, structure, and all of that good stuff. So in journey number one, man, we talk about culture.
Culture.
And it was so in the beginning of every journey, we found a quote that kind of ties into it. And so Alice Walker said, my parents taught me service, not by saying, but by doing. That was my culture, the culture of my family. And so I think what Bree saw as far as when it came to culture with me was establishing a culture of love, establishing a culture of family. Establishing a culture of service, establishing a culture of helping others who are less fortunate, a culture of giving back, of culture of community, not just about I, but about we, about us. Like if our family is doing good, we don't just want to do good and not see other families do good. And I think the most important thing that you can do when you establishing like a culture in your father-daughter relationship, or even son-daughter, whatever, right? I think the culture has to be created, and the culture can be taught both explicitly and implicitly, meaning I can say our family is going to be built on love.
Yeah.
Our family is going to be built on helping others. And that can be explicit, me saying it, or it can be implicit on me doing.
Right.
So when you see me doing stuff for other people, in your mind, you felt like, yo, I saw my dad give back. Mm-hmm. I saw my dad help people that was less fortunate. And as a result, you started doing it.
Yeah.
So when you think about culture, right, and you think about the middle school breed, maybe even the high school breed, it doesn't have to be confined just on middle school, high school. But when you think about like maybe that 8-year window, what was the culture like for you? Because if you think about it, because when you wrote in yours, you said, Charmaine said something that really made sense, saying you came from two different cultures.
Yeah.
So can you elaborate on what the culture was like that you came from and the culture that you saw?
Yeah. So when I even said it in the book, when you mentioned culture and us writing on that, I was like, I don't know what does that mean? I don't fully understand. But then, you know, of course, my mom kind of explained that I came from two environments. So the, you know, first environment I came from, it was, you know, toxic, violent. So that was all I knew. So that was all I gave back. So I said, you know, I gave back to the world what I was given.
Right.
So I was given the violence, the hostility. So that was in return what I gave back to the world. So, you know, fighting all the time, getting in trouble in class, talking too much, all of that kind of stuff.
And that was getting on my last freaking nerve.
What do you mean?
I was tired of having to go to the freaking school.
All right.
Because you was off the chain.
That was all I knew. That was my culture. Like, it was like, it wasn't even really like a culture established. It was almost just like a do what you do, but like, don't get in trouble. Like, it wasn't no, I want you to be showing you how to be a servant leader, showing you how to love somebody, showing you get like, I didn't see none of that. So it was like, this one thing was all I saw, all I knew. So therefore in life, basically all I was doing at that time was just going through the motions.
Right.
So then, you know, I moved with you, a mom, and it was like, it was completely different night and day. So it was like, okay. So it went from hostile to love and affection and nurturing and teaching. And it was like, I don't know, like, you take school serious. Like, when I was in, they didn't tell me to take school serious. Or that they didn't establish those
Speaking of school, time out, pause.
Oh my
gosh. We failed a freaking class called horticulture.
I failed that class because y'all allowed me to be in that class.
Whoa, we allowed?
Yes.
Girl, you...
That was my freshman year. Like, I didn't pick those classes. Like, you're supposed to, like, pick classes for your key. Like, that was y'all's doing, not mine.
Right, that was your 10th grade year.
No, that was freshman year.
That was your 10th grade year.
That wasn't 10th grade. All
right.
I'm most certain that was freshman year.
Scratch that off.
But... yeah.
She failed. That's all we talking since we on school.
So, yeah, like, I wasn't... like, taking academics wasn't a principle instilled in me until I moved with y'all. And I know, I actually read in a book and I saw that I, you know, gave credit to you, which some credit does partly go to you because you were the disciplinarian in the aspect of academics. Like, if you don't do this, okay, you off this, none of this.
I took that girl off
but
the track team.
But a lot of credit actually goes to mom, because mom really laid that foundation of taking academics seriously, because she was an educator herself. So she was on me about reading 30 minutes a day, like trying to help me with my homework. Like, when it came to the homework, I'm not gonna lie to y'all, me and my mom, like, I wasn't just fighting with him, I was fighting with everybody. So
told
me and my mom,
she was off the chain.
Like, we was bumping heads all the time. When
I thought we had the child's play the doll that came. I thought freaking Chucky, the daughter doll, or the girl doll, or the Chucky girl.
I am a weeb.
Bree was the freaking child.
Stop, don't do me like that. I'm sorry, y'all. I've been delivered, okay? I've been delivered, for real. But yeah, it's like, mom really helped to lay that foundation
right.
of taking academics seriously.
Right.
So, yeah, just seeing how y'all led and how y'all did things, you know, and led by example, you know, allowed me to like, wow, I like that effect that you just had on somebody. Like, I kind of want to have that effect too. So that was kind of the distinction in the two cultures.
All right. So that's super dope. That's super dope. So now we like, we fast forward and we just think about the college student, Bree. What the heck made you take school serious in college where you ain't gave not nary nothing about school in middle school? Middle and high school.
You know, I ask myself that question all the time because I don't know if it was a mixture of, okay, like school ain't free no more. You know, daddy paying thousands of dollars, you know.
Thank you, Joe Biden. Because I am about to freaking, what's that they call them? Biden cut my $10,000 right now.
Right. But yeah, like, I don't know if it was the knowing, you know, thousands of dollars in me being in school and then strictly, you know, in a sense, being in a women's college. So there was no distractions of the male energy on campus. Like,
hallelujah.
I don't know. The light switch just went off somewhere there where I was really like, okay, it's go time. Like, bro, you got dreams, you got goals, you got aspirations. Like, it's not playing no more. Like, let's go.
Right, right. So I really think that, that was like a beautiful thing once that light switch like went off and you were really just locked in on school. And I think it was really just built on the foundation, the culture, the because, you know, culture is just a set of principles, behaviors, ideas that you establish. And like I said, they can be passed down from generation to generation. Like, it's a certain culture that I picked up from my grandmother. My grandmother was born in 1918, like I said in the previous, in episode number one. And my grandmother, she really didn't know what culture was or anything about that, right? But she implicitly passed down a certain culture to our family that was based on like love and all of that good stuff, right? And so I think it was really important that I passed on like that culture of love and caring and community and family to you. So then now KJ comes along.
Okay.
And so now you got a little brother, you a big sister. What did that feel like?
It's crazy because I swear sometimes when you ask God for things, he really gives it to you. And when I was in foster care, I can distinctly remember asking God for a little brother. And it was so crazy because I had like a friend of mine at the time. And I was like, you can be like my little brother. Like, I don't really have one, but I was like, yeah, you can be my little brother. And then, you know, I was blessed with one and it's been like, it's dope, man. I love it. Like, I'm basically like a third parent, I feel like sometimes. Like, I'm that serious about my brother. Like, yeah, I can pick on him, but you can't. Like, it's that serious. So I'm definitely loving the bond, you know, that we have established. It's really dope.
And to talk about that bond, I can remember me harping on Bree. Like, if I felt like Bree, and when I say put her friends, she never really necessarily put her friends before KJ or family, right? But sometimes, you know, when you get older, yeah, like you want to hang out with your friends. But I was just so big on family.
Yeah.
And that was the culture. That was the culture. Family, bro. Like, if nobody else got your back, your family got your back. And not always, right? Sometimes families, or do you just as wrong as your friends?
Oh,
and
absolutely.
As a, but like brother sister type like love, like that's different.
Yeah,
that's different. My sister, bro, like she'll ride for me.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy as Sean is. Sean, if you watching, I love you, boo, but you're crazy.
Yeah,
nah, she's not crazy, but like we are just so tight, and I wanted y'all to have that, and so that's why sometimes when I would harp on you, that's why I did it, and to see where y'all are now, man, how tight y'all are, how close y'all are. It's just a beautiful thing, and I'm super excited that you and KJ have established that type of love and bond and commitment and loyalty to each other. So we talked about culture.
Hold on, sir. You trying to steamroll. So go back to middle school Bree, high school Bree. For you, what was it like for you trying to establish that culture and everything like that?
So when you become a parent, not just a father, when you become a parent, nobody gives you like a book.
Right.
Nobody gives you a manual and say you should do X, Y, and Z. And if you do X, Y, and Z, this will happen as a result.
Right.
And so for a while, like, I got it wrong. Like, maybe sometimes I would be too much of a dictator and I would be too tough on you and I would be too hard on you and you would kind of rebel a little bit and I would have to pull back and I would have to try a different tactic as far as trying to reach you and create that type of bond, because our bond wasn't as dope as it is now. And so I think with me in eighth, like not just eighth grade, but in middle school, it was me like, let me try this. Let me be hard on her. Yeah. She didn't do her schoolwork. Yo, what are you doing? Why you didn't do your freaking schoolwork? Why are you failing this class? And then you wasn't really receptive to that. Mm-hmm. And so I would have to then come to you and be like, yo, sweetie, I love you, girl. Like, come here, girl. Talk to me. Like, what's going on? Like, dad, I just don't get it. Then you started opening up and kind of being much more receptive to a different way.
Yeah.
And so I think through middle and high school, and the only thing that I was really hard on you about was boys.
Yes.
Yes. I had you in the 10th grade.
Yes.
Well, you was conceived in the 9th grade.
Yes.
You was born in the 10th grade. So what I did not want to happen to you was what I did. So in order for the generational curse to be broken, it had to start with me, but it had to end with you. Because you were the next child in succession. And I didn't want KJ to think that, oh, yeah, dad did it, Bree did it, I can do it. So I was on your neck.
And when I tell y'all, this man was tough on me, y'all. Tough is almost an understatement. Like, tough on me, like, almost like he was raising a son. Like, that kind of tough, like, woo! But I survived.
But not just necessarily survive. You are thriving.
That is true.
Like, Bree don't, like, she know the game. She know when you spitting games. She know when you running games. She know when you trying to push games. She know when, like, you not there. She know when you go ghost. She know what that means. She know when you, like, only talking and saying she beautiful and good morning beautiful for 2 weeks. And then the text messages get dry. And she know that, oh, because I ain't gave you no other goods now. Yeah. You don't, like, she know it because I was that guy. And even though I didn't have text messages, but I would know how to, like, I used to know what to just say. Girl, you so beautiful. I love you. I love you. And girls be like, yeah, looking like. And then after a while, they be like, oh, yeah, he must do love me. Okay. Come on.
I'm about to knock
the freaking camera over. And I just didn't want. And, you know, we all make mistakes, right? We all get it wrong. But, like, why allow somebody to make mistakes if you already went through it?
Right.
Like, yeah, like, you're gonna make your own mistakes and you're gonna learn from it, but why have to go through that when somebody already did it and can tell you?
Right.
And then, so it's not necessarily a mistake when you do it. Right. It's like, I know what I did.
Right.
And then when you make it, it's like, oh yeah, that wasn't really what it was cracked up to be. Right. That really wasn't, like, yeah, I could have went without that and still been good. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what happened during the, like, middle school and high school. It was like me trying to find out, like, what worked for you and what didn't. And then now I have KJ. So then now I got to know, and he's a son and all, but still I need to know, like, what I need to do to make sure that it doesn't happen with him. So that was, like, a super dope, beautiful thing, man. I'm super, super excited that I was able to kind of use you as a case study.
Okay, so in that, let me ask you. So it's a two-part question. So what was the most challenging part about raising me? And what has been the most rewarding part about raising me?
So the most challenging part was... the most challenging part was getting you to see what I saw. Like, getting you to see, like, you remember when you might be like, yo, dad, I'm going to be like you or something. And I said, nah, you're going to be better than me.
Yeah.
I used to always say that. Yeah. Like, you're going to be better than me. So it was really just getting you to see that. Like, I'm like, yo, like, if she can see, like, how much, like, better she's going to be than me. Like, how dope, like, how much more doper she's going to be. Like, how higher she is going to go further than me. Like, how many of her dreams going to become a reality? Like, if she can just see that.
Right.
And so that was really hard because you came to me from a different background, a different family. And then me like working on you and loving on you and believing you and pushing you and speaking over your life and telling you like, yeah, bro, like you're going to be better than me. I know I'm doing these rallies. I know I'm doing all of this stuff in the community. Like, I know I'm doing like even the music stuff, corporate stuff, working stuff. I know I'm doing all of these things. I'm like, but yo, you're going to be better.
Right.
And so it was really like, that was the hardest, the most difficult part is getting you to see that and making sure you protected yourself. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you could have like, you know, if you went ratchet, right? like it would have took you so many more years to kind of clean up the ratchet you to get there. And I'm not knocking anybody because you can go from ratchet to righteous.
Right.
Like, so I ain't knocking it, but I just didn't want that journey to be as long for you because I wish somebody was on me.
Right.
I wish somebody was on me and stayed on me. And then where I am now, I probably would have got here much quicker.
Much quicker.
So that was the hardest part or the toughest part. I wouldn't necessarily say the hardest part, but the dopest, the most beautiful part was you just being receptive. Mm. Like you just like not running from it, like embracing it. And even when we clashed, you didn't allow that to like just drive you away. Mm. You would always come back and I would apologize. And when I got it wrong, or if I was too hard on, we had a falling out, and I'd be like, Bray, I'm sorry. And you'd be like, okay, Dad. And we just moved on past that. Like, that was beautiful, man. Like, that was dope. Like, I love that. Because sometimes girls with their dads, they can just then turn away and not even have that, want to have that relationship. Because they like, yo, I'm going to just build this wall and I'm just only going to use you. Not necessarily use you, but I'm only going to come to you when I need you.
Yes.
But you would still come and you would still let me like fix me to work on you.
Because sometimes parents can be too prideful to act like
right.
they made a mistake or right. done something wrong
right.
and apologize.
Right.
Like it takes a lot to really set your pride aside as a parent because you know you're supposed to be the one to not know everything, but you know, we look at you almost like you know everything.
Right.
So it's like when you come, like when you would come to me knowing you did wrong and apologize. Man, that was everything. Like, right. it's just like, okay, like, he still sees me. He still hears me. He knows, like, that was too much. So now we can, like, continue to move forward. And I don't have to close myself off.
Right, right. And for anybody that's listening, boy, like, that is so important.
Yes.
That is so important in establish, like, your hashtag father-daughter goals, hashtag father-son goals, hashtag mother-daughter goals, mother-son. Like, being able to apologize, step back and say, yo, I got it wrong. Yes. I'm sorry. And then for the son and the daughter to say, okay, man, I'm gonna still keep trusting you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So as we close, man, like, what do you want to leave the people with today? Like, what's something that you want to leave the people with?
That's a good question. I almost want to leave them with that because I feel like that really is very important. As a parent, I know you just feel like, you know, you right, you can't be wrong, but that's really not the case. Like, as a parent, in your mind, you know you mess up, but it's like, for some reason, when it comes to, like, actually admitting that to your child, it's like, no, somewhere in your mind, you like, no, I can't do that. No, I'm not gonna do that. I was wrong, but oh well, it's still my way or the highway. And it can't be that way. That is the beginning to an end if you are like that with your child. Yes, that will cause them to begin to close themselves off. Oh, they don't hear me. Oh, they don't care. Oh, it don't matter. So whatever, I'm not telling them nothing else. I'm not listening to nothing else because they don't care. Like, it's really that serious. As a parent, you have to be very empathetic to your child's feelings. That is how they will continue to come to you and open up to you. Put your pride to the side and think about the bigger picture of your relationship with your child.
Wow, how can I follow that?
You got it.
I cannot. The only thing that I'm gonna do to follow that is in the book, when I say here are some tips that I think can help create a good foundation to build your father-daughter culture, I said it has to be a shared vision. The vision for the culture that you want to establish, it can't just be yours.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be the father's, but and then it also has to be something from the daughter. Like, it has to be a shared vision. I said it has to be family driven. At the end of the day, your family is all you have. friends will turn their backs on you.
Yeah.
The world will turn their back on you. For the most part, man, your family's always going to be there. Mm-hmm. I said, fun but structured. Like, the one thing about, like my family, man, is we have a whole lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Our culture is built on fun. And my kids know that. Like, 90% of the time, it's fun. I got to be super tough and a butthole 10% of the time. But for the most part, it's all fun. And then I said forever changing. Like, the culture is going to evolve over time. Like, mm-hmm. nothing stays the same. The culture that I had with you when you were a middle school student to a high school student to a college student to now an adult, it has to evolve. The way I fathered you when you were younger, I can't really do it now. Right. I can't really be as hands-on. Right. I can kind of give you my advice, give you, like, my gut feeling when I feel something.
Yeah.
But, like, if you make that decision, you know, that's what you're going to have to, like, live with. And it doesn't matter if my gut is usually right all the time. If you be like, yo, I'm going to go against it, then you like, yo, I'll accept whatever consequences come as a result of it.
Yeah.
And then the last tip is, I said, be intentional. Like, I was very intentional in establishing love. I was very intentional making school important. I was very intentional that we were going to church. That was like a non-negotiable.
Oh, yeah.
Be intentional with what you want your son, your daughter, to pick away, to pick up and carry.
Right.
So even when you're not there, you know you've done a fairly good enough job that, like, they gonna be good.
Right.
And people always say, yo, I don't know what my kids would do if I'm not there. That is absolutely the truth. But if you kind of been intentional, you kind of created a culture, you know for the most part what they won't do.
Absolutely.
So as we close, man, hopefully you enjoy episode 2 of hashtag Father Daughter Goals, the podcast. Bree, I love you, sweetie. I love you so, so much, man. This is an absolute joy. The freaking video freaking went out because...
Yeah, man.
My storage. Yeah. But y'all got it on the audio. So we love y'all, man. Anything else?
That's it. That's a wrap.
That's a wrap, boo. Peace up. A-time down.
Lego.
Even though I'm from South Carolina.
'Thank y'all so much for tuning in and hanging out with us today on hashtag FatherDaughterGoals, the podcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode and was able to take something meaningful away in your father-daughter goals journey.
Be sure to like, share, and subscribe and tune in on your favorite listening podcast channel. Until next time,
we out.